But these communication gifts don't just happen at home, right? The gaffes. It happens in the workplace as well. And our speaker today, John Gray, has done extensive research on the topic. His new book, Work With Me, The 8 Blind Spots Between Men and Women in Business, is where he clears up a lot of the misunderstandings and provides concrete solutions for all of us, men and women, to move forward effectively. Mr. Gray is the leading relationship expert in the world and best-selling author of Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, which I read when I was going through my divorce, so thank you. It is currently being adapted into a film and television series. Gray's books has sold over 50 million copies in 50 different languages around the world, and he's appeared on numerous national TV shows as well as featured in countless magazines. Through his highly acclaimed books, videos, and transformational seminars, John's purpose is to create a world where men and women understand, respect, appreciate, and ultimately work better together. And that's what we're here to learn about today. So I am going to turn it over to you, Mr. John Gray.
Thank you very much. Well, my apologies and being late here today. It's always that kind of reminds me about what we experience as men and women trying to connect when we don't know how to get somewhere. I was way on the other side of the building running around. Anyway, I got a good jog in. It's always good to see the bright side of things. Thank you for your patience. I'll say that as whenever you're interacting with a man, and sometimes when women are talking about things, they use more words than men would want. And, you know, you often easily take it personally, and I hope today that many of the things I talk about will make it easier to be in the workplace with men, as well as being married to men or dating men or having sons, whatever, so that we can provide the best support, but also to not have it be such a stressful experience for ourselves. Kind of like the little surge of stress I had when I could not find this room. It's just always when we don't know where we're going, how to get there. We might know where we want to go, but we know how to get there. Our stress levels go up. And one of the things that happens in relationships now, before I go further, I know there's a huge room. So actually, we could all fit in this little area here. I don't want to push anybody, but I want you to know that any time anybody back there decides you're going to stay, they come on into this section of the room. I know sometimes it's like, I want to be in the back so I can leave easily, whatever. But there aren't any big cameras or anything, so it's nice to be connected. Closeness is connection. So what happens a lot is men and women have different reactions to things biologically, regardless of what your conditioning is. And conditioning has a big play in our differences, but just our biological differences. And before I go into them, how many were here at the morning talk? Just curious if you came back. There'll be a little repetition, but it'll be its own unique talk. One of the biological differences of many is that when they're stressed, men tend to withdraw from their emotions until they feel powerless to solve the problem. Then they become emotional. So for a man, it's like lions and tigers and bears, we might feel strong emotion. But under moderate stress, we actually disconnect from our emotions to figure out what's the best action to take. That's because we are ruled by, as men, one of the biggest differences biologically between men and women is testosterone. Testosterone is the hormone. Generally, men have 30 times more. Criminals and politicians generally have 40 times more. It's true. It's true. And there are some women who can swim from Cuba to Florida, who are naturally born with more testosterone levels, okay? So there is a minority of women that typically will have much stronger muscle mass. That's one of the signs that you have more testosterone is you have a much stronger muscle mass. You have a tendency to be more into athletics. It doesn't mean you're not a woman. It just means you have higher testosterone levels. And often, it's more challenging in relationships because you often feel that what goes along with the testosterone hormone is, I want to do it myself. I want to prove that I can do it myself. I don't want to depend on anybody. One of the news anchors was talking about her life, how, you know, she, her whole life is, don't depend on anybody, do it all yourself. And that's a real rah-rah speech, particularly for men. Because when men can't find that within themselves, they become very, very weak. Women can find that's the masculine side of a woman. And women have testosterone, but there's also estrogen, progesterone, and oxytocin. There's three for women, one for men. That's the complexity of women from a man's point of view. But I do understand from a woman's point of view, we men are just as complex. We think we're very simple. But when you don't understand simple, it's very complex. And women are complex. The cycles are changing. The hormones are changing. There's a period when your estrogen levels are rising towards fertility. Men look really good to you. You feel vulnerable. You feel like I need support in my life. And there's actually one or two days where they look really good. And then forget it. But catch all those days. And then progesterone starts increasing, estrogen goes down, and that's the part of you which is the warrior. You can go out there, you solve the problems, you fix it, you do this, you handle this, you're the CEO of the house, the CEO of the company, you're handling it all. But this is like a mixture. It's always rotating around. And one of the things that interferes with that natural cycle, of, as women often say, I wear many, many hats, whereas men usually like to have one hat. I'm a chef, that's all I wear. You know, I've got my one hat at home. Men don't really feel like, gee, I'm doing all these different things at once, whereas women do, and there's reasons for that. There's the changing of the hormones is one. Two is in the everything that's hormonal is affected by the brain. Women have 8 times more white matter in their brains than men. What's white matter? It connects the gray matter. So it's like you have a network. The internet is your brain, and guys have the old phone system. You know, where imagine this is a big brain up here. This part of the brain right up here is where a man can listen. Okay, now I'm listening to you. Now I have to interpret what you just said. So I have to go back over here to this analytical part of my brain. What is she saying? What does she expect me to do? And then I come back up here and, oh, you've changed the subject. Now, what's going on here? Or let's say there's an emotion in your tone of voice, then we have to go back here and figure out what is that emotion. I think I can relate to it somehow. But to do that, he has to step over the big divide over to the emotional part of the brain. And now he's feeling what you're feeling if he actually gets there. There's a lot of construction work going on in between this part of the brain. But he gets to where he actually can empathize, then guess what? He can't think. So he kind of forgets what you're talking about. So he just says... And he has to go over here, what was that I was feeling? And then come back up here, and once again, you've changed the subject. And he says to you, well, Bill would never say that. And you say, Bill, I'm not talking about Bill. How could you think I'd be saying Bill would say that? Well, that's my point. I was saying Bill could never say that. I cannot believe that you would think I thought Bill would say that. Now you're off in this whole other conversation. So men are kind of like a deer in headlights. At a certain point, they go, okay, I have no idea what she's talking about. Hopefully she'll identify a subject, and I can hook into what we're talking about here. And heaven forbid, you say, would you say that again? Then you go, well, you're not listening. Okay? As opposed to whenever a man says, will you say that again? He's trying to hear you, but he has to also think. And he cannot hear and think and feel and plan and remember all at the same time. And heaven forbid if there's any sort of defensive reaction he gets. And this is where both men and women are the same, is that we both have this fight or flight center, although it's twice as big in men. And we have a different response to it as well. But when that fight or flight center goes off, that's our amygdala, danger, we're threatened, and it could be life or death, but it could also be I'm being rejected, or it could be for a man, I'm never going to have sex again. Whatever it could be, there's this threat back here. As soon as danger appears, what happens is very different for men and women. A man's first reaction to fight or flight is adrenaline. It is also that way for women, adrenaline. And then what happens after the adrenaline increases, if it doesn't get used up, that adrenaline, then it turns into cortisol. Now, cortisol is deadly. Okay, cortisol doesn't just go up and down. Adrenaline goes up and down. I had all this adrenaline running here, and now I'm completely relaxed. But if it was cortisol, it kind of stays there. And for women, what cortisol does is to make the cortisol, the body uses up progesterone. Now, progesterone is a very important hormone for calming the brain. Estrogen speeds up the brain. Whenever you're afraid, nervous, anxious, your estrogen levels are dominating your progesterone levels. So when cortisol levels go up, your progesterone's gone. Because literally, if you're running away from a bear, you don't need to be calm. You need to get out of there fast. So this is a big difference for women. For men, when there's adrenaline, their testosterone levels will go up. And one of the functions of testosterone in men is faster reaction time. I loved what, also independence, I have to rely on myself. One of the quotes today at the big talk was, if you want to get there fast, do it alone. Now, do it alone is the testosterone way. You don't have to have a committee to decide how we're going to do this. But if you want to go far, do it together. And that's the blend of masculine and feminine. You know, we have to find within ourselves that balance, and we want to find that balance in our lives. And one of the best testing grounds for that is both an intimate relationship with the opposite sex and working together with the opposite sex. These are our challenge points. Because if you feel resentful or frustrated or disappointed or giving up on the opposite sex, that means you're giving up on a part of you. So when women give up on the opposite sex, what happens is they become the opposite sex. You become independent and alone. See, if I can't depend on someone, depending is needing. We all have needs. And we have this thing called independence, and we have this thing called dependence, masculine, feminine. Now, when I say that, don't be offended like I'm saying you can't be independent. You're all amazingly independent. My wife is amazingly independent. That's her masculine side. And it's useful for us to be able to use that terminology, masculine side, feminine side, because there really are. People say, why don't you just call it the yin or the yang or something like that? It's just because the bottom line here is we have these masculine qualities, feminine qualities, but as a woman, if you're too much on your masculine side, then your stress levels will be higher. And for a man, if you're too much on your female side, your stress levels are higher. Let me give you examples of that. You know, testosterone is like this amazing hormone for men. And I remember back when everybody, still many people do, who haven't read recent research, think, oh, testosterone is what causes men to misbehave. You know, oh, bad things happen when men have spikes of testosterone. Actually, bad things don't happen. When I'm most romantic, considerate, caring for my wife or my children, my testosterone levels are up. Right now, my testosterone levels are peaking. Right now. Because I'm of service, and I feel confident, I feel successful, and I'm making a difference. Now, if nobody came to my talk, my testosterone levels would go down. When men feel successful and confident, their testosterone levels go up. Then you have this thing called men misbehaving. Violence, meanness, cruelty, all that stuff. War, we see that stuff happening. Where's all that coming from? People say high testosterone. Actually, it's not. It's people who have high testosterone, so they have a lot of it, and they do. But when they feel insecure and they don't know how to solve their problems, they're not educated, they don't know a better way than violence, then what happens when a man feels powerless, insecure, then his testosterone actually converts into estrogen. Only time men are doing anything misbehaving, estrogen levels are high, testosterone levels are low. Now, there's an example of testosterone being low without estrogen being really high. And that's just, I spent it all. I mean, this is heaven for a man. This is when you work hard, solving problems, you feel confident, feel successful. Today I gave two wonderful talks, signed a bunch of books, all great. Then afterwards I'll just relax. I feel like I did my job, and I just get to sit. Now you've seen this in men, you think he's so lazy. We have more to do. I go, no, I did my job. And that's the difference between men and women. See, we're a partnership. What men do is often the hard, exhausting jobs traditionally. Not that your jobs aren't exhausting the way they are today. But if you go to indigenous tribes, women aren't exhausted. They're never exhausted. They work all day long. They never stop. Women's brains do not have an off switch. You're designed to always be on because as a mother, you have to be on all the time. There is no off switch. And if you were in partnership with a man, he was here, there. He was out hunting. He was out gone. He was out protecting. And he was your emergency man. You say, go do that. Go fix that. Go handle that. Go here. Whatever comes up, you'd send him off to do it. Why? Because you have to be there for the children. So you've designed, even women have adapted to having 25% more fat cells than men. Why do you have more fat cells? Doesn't mean you have to be overweight, just means you have more fat cells. Why? Because fat is twice as much energy, gives you twice as many calories as carbohydrate. And your body will store that fat so you have plenty of energy so you never run out of energy. Men do. The less fat a man has, the more exhausted he becomes when he's done his job. But then there's the other guys who are, I'm thinking about the other overweight guys who just sit around and do nothing. Okay, they're also exhausted and tired all the time. But why? Because they're not taking action. When you take action and you're a man, you work hard, I'm giving you this as support to motivate men to work hard. You know, some of the women today on the stage were saying it's really hard to ask for help until she finally realized people want to help. Ultimately, every woman wants to help, but she doesn't realize men want to help. The difference for that is because men don't help unless you ask them to help. They just assume you can do it yourself. A good example of this, and this is, I'm going to give you a personal example that applies everything to the workplace. Oh, I'll give you a workplace. I'm over at the electronics, one of those electronics stores, Best Buy, I guess it was, something like that. And there's a counter, and the woman's taking care of me, and she's got two other guys working with her, and she says, you know, that box still has to be moved, and we still have to get this done. I'm taking care of this customer. Now, you all know what that means, don't you? And then the guys don't move at all. And then she grumbles inside, and I have to take care of these boxes and you and everybody, okay? And I thought, oh, if she only understood a little bit of gender intelligence, all she had to do is, Tom, I'm taking care of this customer. Would you help me and carry that box over here? That's it. Tom would have gone, oh, okay. He assumes he doesn't have to do it. See, men have we have different genes. There are different genes that are strictly masculine and strictly female. One of them is a nurturing gene, and the nurturing gene is attuned to identifying needs and meeting those needs when someone has no ability to communicate. So children don't have to ask you for what, Mom, would you feed me? You know, you're just like this, you need to be fed, you're busy like this, I gotta change. You have to anticipate, you're always anticipating needs, your brain is working this way all the time. Men's are not. We have this gene that basically says, never do anything you don't have to do. It's not personal. It's just like we have to save our energy. We don't have the extra fat cells. We run out of energy. We know. I gotta at any moment there could be emergency and I've got the energy. So think of men as emergency men who are never going to do anything unless it's an emergency. And what constitutes an emergency is somebody asks them to do something. That's it. You have to ask. And you have to ask in a language which is appropriate to Martians. What women often do, use women's language, which she was doing, the indirect approach. Another indirect approach is, oh my God, my job is so, I gotta call this, and I gotta call this, and I gotta, and I still have to move those boxes, and I still have to get this done. She's sort of broadcasting out to the universe, to the tribe, anybody got an extra moment, would you help me with this, and this, and this? All men hear is, oh my God, she can't do her job. And she's complaining about it, even worse, you know, just like. So, how do you shift that around? Is it realized with men, you have to you don't have to be men. It used to be you had to be men. I love the comment that was made today, which is the conversation is changing. Instead of why women should have equality or be in the workplace, it's how. I think that was the phrase. It's how can we work together? Because that's what my work's all about. It's not convincing people that we're equal. We all want to prove that we're equal, but how do you keep affirming that you're equal if you do things that the other person doesn't understand and misinterprets completely? So there's a lot of challenges for us in the workplace. I'm just thinking about 50 of them right now, so I'm thinking about my time. And, you know, we started about 20 minutes late. I'm going to go 20 minutes later. And those that have to leave, please feel free. You're not going to enter. I'll know that you have appointments you have to go to, but we have this room till then, and so I'm just take the whole hour. Is that okay? Can you give me a little applause on that one? We'll just do that one. Okay, good. Okay. You know, because I was in that last talk and really had to pee, but I didn't want to get up while she's telling me her life story. You know, so, please, you know, okay. But I kind of had the experience of swimming across the whole thing. Is this like water for me? Were you pointing that to me? See, you were telepathic. I got thirsty. She immediately, it's right there. I didn't even say I need water. She just picked it up. She's like, there's your water. This is how women are. And we assume that if someone cares about us, they're going to be that way too. Well, you're right, if they're women. So I give you the most dramatic example. So here's my wife. One of the things I do is three times a year I teach classes in Mendocino, California, is my ranch, on relationships. I throw that out there in case you want to spend more time with me. They're four-day courses. Who knows? One of you might come. So there's the ranch, but we also use it, our family. We go up there for our family vacations and things.
And so my wife brings the whole kitchen when she goes. Even though we have whole kitchens there, she brings the refrigerator and everything else up, you know. So she's got these things that she pulls this and this stacks on this, and there's this bag and there's this bag. And so I'm with my two hunky, what are they, ranch hands. Okay, they do the heavy stuff that I take credit for. So they're there, and I'm talking with them. We got to do this. We got to fix this and so forth. And there's my wife, maybe just that far away. And she's coming out of the other house. We're at one house here and another place there. And she sees us, and we all see her, and her face just lights up in a big smile because she's carrying all these things with her. And we all go, "Hi, Bonnie," and then we go back to our conversation. Now you all go, "What?" She goes, "What?" She says, "I need help." And we go, "Oh," and we run over there instantly. There wasn't a fingernail part of us that would resist helping her, but we didn't help. Unless she asked or identified, "Would you do this?" in a language that men can understand. So it's like really with men, they have that gene, only do it if you have to. And so you have to realize, you have to point out to them, this has to be done. So it's required to be done. What's required to be done? What's the reason to do it? Why would I do that? Well, the reason you do that, the reason he should do that, it will help you. So that's the big word that many women never want to admit. That's one of the people today said. It's like, "I just never want to ask for help. I don't want to ask for help." That is the art of working with men. And the fear you have often is that if I ask for help, I'll be seen as weak. Because if men ask for your help a lot, you do see them as weak. But see, men see you differently as women. See, we're blown away by your confidence in the workplace. All we have to do is see it, and we shift right away. But then we shift back sometimes when we misinterpret some of your behaviors, and we think, how can somebody so confident suddenly get upset about this? And that's a big challenge for women, because authenticity is really where the workplace will be less stressful for women, when you can truly be women expressing your masculine side. To a certain extent, it's not safe. It just isn't. But you can make it more safe. And that is, I'll give you the evidence of that, which is besides your own experience, where you feel like, gee, I can't share myself the way I want to, express myself the way I want to. I have to sort of adapt to their rules and the way they do it. And keep in mind, once again, it's not like men invented these rules because we hate women. A lot of people, they hate women. No. I mean, there's some women that hate men, some men that hate women. Sure, that exists, but that's not why the work world is the way it is. The work world is the way it is because there were never any women in it. That's a compliment to you. The work world is going to get much, much better as women forge their way in. And as, again, as one of the speakers said today, it wasn't by having a woman mentor, not that that's a bad thing and that wouldn't help. It was by having men mentors. And it's also really by becoming friends with men. Because I'm a man, how do I get through the glass ceiling? By becoming friends with men. There's only so many men up there. Just they've entrenched. How do you get them out? You don't. You work with them. So women move up. Every woman I've heard, almost every woman I've heard at these conferences, who's made some big accomplishment in the work world, have this very positive attitude about men. Because men have helped them every step of the way. We just read the book, it was a sensation last year. She was sorry, I forget her name. Lean In. Yes, Leaning In. I was like, Leaning In. Okay. She talked about her male mentors. She would have never gotten to where she is without befriending men. And that's a secret. And the secret there is if you befriend men, it's because you have a positive relationship with men. You can work with men. You can depend on men. You can learn from men. You can appreciate men. And I'll tell you, the longer a man's married, he comes across a woman that appreciates a man, he is happy to work with you. It's not sex. It's just, you know, there's some research that just shows if a man can listen to a happy woman talk for 10 minutes, his whole day is enriched. You know, I look forward so much to this conference. I don't even charge for this. Normally I charge huge fees for my talks. They say all women conference, 1,000 women. I'm in. Okay, you know, just like, are you kidding? This is, you know, you are a gift. You are a huge gift. Women are, and men are a gift too. It's wonderful to have a man around the house. You know, like my daughters, when I would come home, I have 3 daughters, now 4 grandchildren. And I'd be off on a trip and I'd come home. My three daughters would say, "Thank God you're here. Dad's here." Because I'm kind of like this oak tree that sort of stands and the wind's blowing. And I've learned not to say, "Don't get upset. Don't worry about it." But I'm not upset and I'm not worried about it. It's nice to just have that calm in the presence of the ocean. And you never know what the weather is, okay? It's like, so these are our natures. There's nothing wrong with it. Imagine being in a situation where you feel safe to be up, down, all around. This is ultimately not going to happen in the workplace soon. But you have to balance that, at least in your personal life. And ideally, if you could be in a relationship with the opposite sex, if you're heterosexual, because that's the biggest challenge. Because as long as you're solo act, you are the man in your life. And when you're the man in your life, basically, you're independent. That's your life is about independence as opposed to dependence. See, I'm really standing up here. I'm a man. I have all male hormones. I'm 64 years old. My hormones are higher than your average 35-year-old testosterone. That's only because the average 50-year-old man, his testosterone levels are half what they used to be. Because they don't know how to keep their hormones up. Regular sex does it for me. But 30 years in a marriage and having regular, great sex that you want to brag about, that's very rare today. That's why my testosterone levels are up, and they're measurable. It's just like, what's going on today? All men's hormones going down. This is like, really, this is the average now. Viagra for men with Viagra. Are you kidding? I can't even be in the room with my wife when she's undressing. Really? She goes in the other room to undress. Otherwise, I wouldn't have sex right away. This is like 30 years. Now, where does that come from? That comes from hormonal balance in her and in me. Because in our intimate relationship, that's the place where you want to give yourself permission as women to need and depend on someone. Someone you can lean on. Because if you can't lean on somebody in your life, then guess what? You're alone. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to be with a man. Every woman has to be with a man. But if you don't, at least have lots of friends so that you can lean on them. But usually women with lots of friends are always have lots of friends because they do everything for their friends. And when they have those quiet moments inside, if they take the time, it doesn't feel so good. Often at night, they're thinking about this and thinking about this, and their stress levels are higher. That's what we want to avoid today. It's not the only cause of stress, but one of the key ways to lower your stress levels, if you're in the workplace, and we're talking about some of the dynamics, I'll talk about a few more insights in the workplace that can lower your stress, and we'll get to that. But the last talk, I didn't get to the second part, which is you just have to get, the world's not a perfect place in the workplace for women today. And you can do your best and apply your skills and make it a more positive experience. For some already it is a real positive experience, but for some it's not such a fulfilling experience. If it's not as fulfilling, make sure your personal life makes up for it. Now I'm going to speak in terms of hormones. When you're a woman in the workplace or a man in the workplace, your testosterone rules everything. It's about efficiency, getting the job done, swimming the mile, going the extra push, that extra little fingernail, put everything into it, put every ounce of you into it. That's the male side of you. And that's honorable, that's wonderful, that's great, and that will then release all your testosterone. So you've been running on testosterone all day, and it does build your self-esteem. But guess what? It doesn't lower stress for women. Testosterone does not lower stress for women. What lowers stress for women is the hormone oxytocin. And it was about 12 years ago, the research showed this, that when oxytocin is produced, and it only gets produced in a non-stressful situation. So what are some of the things to produce oxytocin that will lower your stress? I didn't get to that in the other talk, so I get to finish it now. Which is shopping. That's one. I just like to say that, you know, just like, and you know, some women go, I hate shopping. Well, you need to get over your female side, go shopping with somebody who likes to shop. Find that part of you. It's that gatherer. You know, let me just go gather, look at this and this. And women who don't like shopping often because they have the experience of doing so much in their lives, they don't have time to shop. And the irony is any oxytocin behavior, and shopping is just one of many, any oxytocin behavior, if you do that same behavior but you're rushed, you don't make the oxytocin. Anytime you're rushed, you're making testosterone. And testosterone is not a stress-lowering hormone. What is a stress-lowering hormone for women is oxytocin. So hugs. I was just at a Michael Franti concert, and he had a great song. It was, everybody needs one hug a day. Everybody needs to hug someone once a day. I say four times. Everybody needs to kiss somebody every day, and everybody needs to miss somebody every day. That's connecting with our heart. We need to find that place inside of us, in our heart. It's so easy for women, much easier for you than men, and often women's biggest complaint is he's in his head. And so how do I get him in his heart? You be in your heart. That's what opens men up. The last thing in the world you're going to get from a man is, where are your feelings? He's just supposed to go to his feelings. It's like a man saying, hey, where's your erection, honey? It just doesn't happen that way for women. We're different. We have to honor those differences. If I want my wife to really want to have sex, I have to take the time to romance her. I have to actually build the oxytocin up. You know, many women who've learned about oxytocin go, oh, shouldn't you just have sex all the time and that will create oxytocin? No, that depletes you of oxytocin. See, oxytocin is released when you have climax. And you can't have climax if you don't build up your oxytocin. What builds up oxytocin is the opposite of sex. Anything which is not sexually directed but is affection and love and understanding and empathy and sharing feelings. When a woman feels seen, heard, felt, touched, supported, and not alone, all those activities where that would happen, your oxytocin levels are going to go up. And another major oxytocin is being here today at this conference where you're just with all these women. Because when a woman says something, like a woman can say to another woman, oh, he left me. Well, everybody goes, oh, I know what that feels like. You don't have to communicate feelings. You just have walked in those shoes before. So there's a sense of connection, validation when you're around women. You're around a bunch of men and you say, oh, he left me. And the guy goes, yeah, he probably should have left, you know. You know, you're better off without him. That's what he would say. Well, you're better off without him. He'll have a different reaction to it. Because remember, men's reactions are different. You know, and we're all human beings. I love the power of the spirit. We're all as spiritual beings. On a spiritual level, I'm a very spiritual being. I was a monk for 9 years, celibate monk. As part of my difference in my approach is that I didn't start having relationships with women until I already was complete within myself. I knew myself. I was 28 years old. I learned to find happiness inside myself. My wife says it's really unfair because if we have an argument, I can go off and be happy. I'm not dependent on her for my happiness. I am dependent on her to become happier. My life is so much richer in a relationship. And this is something I teach men. Men, you're all the time getting upset because your girlfriend or your wife is unhappy. Get over it. That's what's making her so unhappy, is she can't be unhappy in your presence. Just don't resist her. Ask to tell me more. What else? Help me understand this better. What will happen if he does that? Oxytocin gets produced, stress levels go down, and suddenly you remember what a great guy he is. Guys have it backwards. You're upset with us. We want to explain to you. Well, you're wrong. I'm a great guy. I did this and I did this and I did this. That's like pouring gasoline on fire. It just gets worse. He doesn't understand that. He doesn't get it. It doesn't make any sense to him unless somebody explains it to him. Now, some of you are thinking, well, my guy's not here. How do I get John to explain it? MarsVenus.com. Videos after videos. And I've been signing books today for younger women in their 20s, and I'm so excited, I forgot to tell everybody, for the younger women in their 20s, or 30s, or 40s, or 50s, they're still young, my daughter does the most amazing relationship videos. You know, I get to watch on Google Analytics. I have this big website, millions of people come. I go to Google Analytics, 90% of all activity is watching her videos, which is so sweet for a dad. I'm like, so proud of my daughter. So anyway, I'm giving a little plug for her. And I also want you to know one of the biggest challenges that women experience is when you're working hard, your testosterone levels are pumping all day. What goes on is you're not making oxytocin. So when you're not making oxytocin, your stress levels just creep up and creep up and creep up and creep up. And when your stress levels are high, it's very hard to relax. So you say, okay, I worked really hard. I want to go sit on the sofa like my husband. You can't. You try. But you can't, because you sit down, as soon as you start thinking, well, what do I have to do? I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. You're right back up. You know, I'm with my wife at home sometimes. We'll be watching TV, and she's doing laundry while we're watching TV. I could never enjoy a TV show and do laundry at the same time. It's like the whole point is to forget all responsibility, forget all stress, and then relax. And that's how men can do it. See, our reaction is forget it, don't worry about it, it's not a big deal, I can't do anything about it, so don't look at it till tomorrow. So we just shut it off. And unknowingly, we do that to you. But for women, one of the most powerful oxytocin producers is being able to talk about what's bothering you. That's the whole foundation of therapy today. And that's why 90% of people who go to therapists are women. And the other 10% of people are guys who are too much on their female side. Unless they have a good therapist who actually knows how to support masculinity. Men need help too. But the kind of therapy that we're teaching today often helps women more. And you can tell why it helps women more, because more women go back. You know, just that's for me. In the beginning, I only had women. So finally, now I have equal men and women. Because men go, oh, this is a guy who's not going to try to turn me into a woman. And this is what often marriage counseling is disastrous for people, because the therapist has gone to a university where they only teach women's studies. You can't even have men's studies. And therapy is client-centered. And most of the clients who come, 90% of women, so you develop all these psychologies based upon what do women need and assume that men are going to need the same thing. No. It's completely the opposite quite often. So there's variations of kinds of therapy. But the point I'm making here is we have these different approaches. So in this book that I'm supposed to be giving this talk on, which is subtitled Blind Spots Between Men and Women, the book is Work With Me. And the idea is, how can we work together? As opposed to women, we're all going to support each other and get ahead. It's like, yes, and how do we work together with men? And for men, how do we work together with women? Now, the difference there is women all go, men need to work on this. And men go, hey, it's all fine. Blind spot. So what we have to realize is it's not that men have to work on this, but women too have to work on this. That's what women have to get. We both need help in this department. And men need to get, they need to make some adjustments to provide a safety net for women to be more authentic. Because if women can be more authentic, then we get to express more of our uniqueness. Our uniqueness is we're all born with amazing skills and genius in various ways. That doesn't come out. The best of us can't come out if we don't feel safe to be ourselves. We need to find that safety. And when you're feeling safe to be yourself, your stress levels go down. So let's look at a study which was done in Norway, which is actually the most considered to be the number one country of gender equality. Has anybody heard that before? Okay. Often touted as, wow, look amazing. Well, I teach seminars in Norway. It's not really that great. And there's one study that was shown that women in the workplace there, which is considered to be the best workplace in the world for women, their stress levels are twice as high as men's. Measurable. This is not just a study, although they'll also say they're unhappy, but they're basically, their stress levels are twice as high. And when they go home to these feminized men who can't be men at home because everybody's the same, their women's stress levels are four times higher. Four times higher than the man's. And his is already high. You know, it's not like we're just going along stress-free. Men are killing themselves there all the time. You know, so there's a lot of problems, but women are having more stress. And this is really important for women to understand because you're spending most of your day now doing jobs that are emergency-type work, urgency-type work, bottom-line kind of work, making decisions which have risk associated with them. When you have risk, if you're a man, it can actually lower your stress. That's why men do crazy stuff. If it's a risk, my testosterone goes up, my stress goes down. I love driving fast. I'm wild and crazy. Now I'm less that. I'm 64, so you've got it easy going. But as a young guy, if you didn't feel confident in yourself, all you have to do is take a risk. Your testosterone goes up, you feel good. Do women feel that good when the stress goes up? No. Or when the testosterone goes up? Doesn't have to feel bad, but it doesn't lower your stress. However, if you're looking forward to, let's say you're at a work, you're a doctor, you're doing a surgery, it's stressful and so forth. And now if you're looking forward to spending time with your husband that night, knowing it's a place where you're going to be loved, and maybe you're going to go out on a date, or maybe, you know, he's going to, you know, be a supportive partner for you, helping you out, you feel connected. Just the knowing that you're going to go home to that loving environment actually increases your estrogen and lowers, and which amplifies the effects of oxytocin and lowers your stress. So knowing that you have something to leave your work to, which is nurturing, as opposed to leaving to being alone. And they've already found that single women, as opposed to women who report being in a happy marriage versus single women, what they found is the same amount of oxytocin would produce less benefit for a single woman than a married woman. Now, they found that out because when you're in relationship, it's always stimulating estrogen. Estrogen is when you're depending on someone, estrogen goes up. When you're depending on yourself, testosterone goes up. And oxytocin, this magic love hormone, it lowers your stress much more effectively if you have estrogen. If your estrogen is low, then your oxytocin really doesn't have much effect on you. So women with high testosterone, testosterone will lower estrogen. So high testosterone, women often say, who cares about a relationship? Who cares about family? You know, I'm out there taking on the world and fighting. That's okay. That's a choice in life. But often it's a symptom of hormonal imbalance. Is that we tend to run away from those places in our life that are void and empty. We don't want to feel them. We have addictions to food. We have addictions to TV. We have addictions to all kinds of things to avoid the pain of the imbalance in our lives. What we want is to keep finding balance. And that's hard in our world. We've suddenly been given, particularly for women, twice as much to do. Doubled your load. You want to feel successful on your male side. Why? Because we're spiritual beings. Once you connect to your spirituality and you realize we're not just these little tribal people, but we're universal beings. We're connected to the world. We aspire towards world peace. We want everybody to be happy. We're like amazing people. Nobody cared about that before. We want my tribe to be happy. You guys die. You know, it was... So here we are, like this higher consciousness. That means that you have access to the masculine energy and the feminine energy. But as women, you are a woman's body, and you have to honor that. So what you find is, when under stress, women tend to push to their male side. Because stress is fight or flight, and if you don't feel you can depend on someone to protect you in danger, then you become the man and protect yourself. So that's called finding vulnerability. It's a very challenging thing. Sometimes women are 38, 39, the clock's ticking, that why don't I have a man? It's really hard to find a man when you're 38, 39, because you've learned to be your own man. They say, my success is intimidating to a man. To some men, but generally speaking, you don't care about those. It's the men who aren't intimidated, but just basically go, what can I do for you? Nothing. See, a man can smell it like honey. You know, can I make a difference here? Or can I not make a difference? Because all a man wants is what those women were saying today. We want to help. We want to help. It was like the other day I was going on a trip with my wife. This is just last week. A walk up the mountain on this tour of our mountain where we live. And we're all going together. I could care less about this, by the way, but it's one of those things my wife likes. So I'm happy to do it because it makes her happy, which is another perplexing thought for women. Women are so concerned about, is everybody happy? Everybody happy? You know, you say to a guy, would you like to do this? Would you like to go out to dinner tonight? No, I'd rather just stay home and have you cook for me. And he's so selfish. No, you asked him what he would like. So coming back to the original thing I was talking about, learning how to ask. If you say to someone, would you like to do this? Would you like to carry that box for me? No. Why? I'm saving my energy for the big one. Instead, you have to practice a new phrase. Would you carry that box for me? It's hard to say. But just notice how you'll do it. You'll say, would you like to do this? Or you'll say, could you carry that box? And the guy goes, yeah, I could carry it. Are you asking me to do it? And you go, oh, we're so picky. Those men are so picky, so complicated. From that point of view, I get it. We don't deal with indirect, which is highly complicated even for women. Does she mean this? Does she mean that? Does it da, 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 da. You go in these big discussions trying to figure each other out and men out. Men are like, if you ask me, then you ask me. If you ask me, can I do it? Yes, I can do it. I can do anything. What would you like me to do? What do you want me to do? And that wife says, what would you like me to do? Another key thing. So you're in a workplace and a man doesn't do something. And you basically say, John, tomorrow, would you bring this earlier? It would be such a relief for me so I could leave work earlier. And then pause. And then he'll have to think. Well, that means I'm about to change this. Okay, I'll do that. Then he's going to remember to do it. Then he's going to be motivated to do it. Then it's a request. And then he's expecting, by the way, when he brings it in on time, you're supposed to go to your female side and go, oh, I'm so happy you're here. Oh, what a relief. So I'm on this walk with my wife, and this woman, she's like, I don't know, 90 years old or something, frail little lady, she's coming along, and she's saying out loud, oh, I wish I'd brought my stick. I wish I'd brought my stick. Now, I translate female language. I understand it. That means, would somebody help me? So I know you get double the credit when they don't ask and you help. Most men haven't figured that one out. So I jump over and says, here, let me help you. Oh, thank you so much. And so we got to the top of the hill, and I'm just walking beside her like this and whatever. We get to the top. 5 times in front of all this whole group of people, she must say, that John Gray, he saved my life today. I'm like, yes, I saved an old woman's life. I did that, you know. Thank you so very, very much. This is what makes a man's life. Here's a few little tips. You know, I don't like to say little tips because I feel like the real essence is getting how men and women are different and how we have a lifetime of study to figure this out. Oh, my gosh. I wrote Men from Mars 30 years ago. I'm still learning this stuff and how to put it into practice. But I'm very proud of myself. I mean, I'm so good at relationship now. I might be considered an expert husband. I'm an expert about gender differences. Wasn't always an expert husband. But I've got it down so much. I have to give credit to my wife, too, of course. But, you know, my wife can go on and on and on about something, and I'm just like, yeah, I hear you, honey. And it's done. I was so glad we got over that hurdle where every time I said, okay, what I hear you say is this and this and this and this and this, and she'd say, no, that's not right. Okay, tell me more. Help me understand that better. And she'd say this and this and this. Okay, I think I got it now. Is that right? I'm saying this. Well, not exactly. You're missing out on this. I mean, we had these long things. And, oh, The thought of her opening her mouth meant exhaustion. I have to run a marathon, you know, but I'll do it. I'll do it because I love my wife. Now it's like she talks for a while. When I watch myself filling up. At a certain point when I'm full, I can only handle so much. I go, I hear it. I hear you, honey. And she knows. That means he's done everything he can to take me in, and now he needs to go away and process and process. And that's how we do it. You have to know, as soon as a man starts feeling threatened in a conversation, like he's feeling blamed or it's overwhelmed or whatever, what's happening when he's in fight or flight, blood flow stops to the front part of the brain. It stops. And this is the only part of the brain where you can hear another point of view. You can't hear another point of view. You can only get your own point of view. You can't take in something new. And that's what you want. You want to be seen and heard, your unique self. Can't hear it at all. It's always going to go right back here. And once he goes back here, guess what happens? You go back here. Because this is biological rewiring. We have these mirror neurons in our brain. Whenever someone is threatened, if they're in fear and defensiveness, we go into fear and defensiveness. There's no way around that. That's why every relationship needs to have time out. And one of the things unknowingly women do to make it worse, and men do all kinds of stuff, but you're the women here, so if you want it to be better, I'm pointing out a few things men do, like tell you shouldn't feel that way, don't get upset about that, that's not a problem, forget this, okay, I'll just handle it, I can't take this shit, I'm out of here. All that stuff doesn't work, okay, so I explain all that to men. But what do you do? This is helpful. So in our survey of the 100,000 men and women in the workplace, we went through these blind spots, and one of the big blind spots was this question. Do women ask too many questions? And women said no. 92% of men said yes. It was a resounding yes. They asked way too many questions. Don't ask so many questions. One woman at the book signing said to me, she said, I'm really going to use that with my son because I can see how he just completely shrivels and pulls away whenever I start asking all those questions. And another thing is eye contact. Women don't realize, see, when you're connecting, you like look right in the eyes, okay? Men don't. If I walk up to a man, look him in the eyes, we're ready to have a fight. That's how you invite a fight. You kind of go like this. So you're like, I'm like right here. Ah, I look away, you know, just like. And even to ask a man to do something, don't look him in the eyes when you ask. Just, oh gosh, it would make us, it'd be so helpful to me. And if you're in a relationship, it would make me so happy. Would you do this? And then pause. You don't have to give 50 reasons why he should do it. So imagine, you're just asking because you trust that he's a wonderful guy as opposed to, I'm going to give you 50 reasons why you should do this, so if you don't, you're a real loser. You know, give him some credit there. Create a space for him to want to be motivated. And that has to overcome that whole thing, which I focused this talk on, not to take it personally or resent when men are not self-motivating around your needs. So you could be at a meeting. Like inclusiveness. Women are way more inclusive. You're women talking. Somebody's not talking. She'll reach out. Carol, what do you think about this? Jane, what do you think about this? That's a good idea. You build each other up. Men don't do that. We don't do that when men are together. We're stealing each other's ideas all the time. That's my idea. No, that was my idea. I think of that. See, it's like basketball. Take the ball. You're allowed to take the ball. Imagine you're playing basketball and some guy just comes and takes your ball. What is that? It's my ball. And this is one of the big resentments women have in the workplace. You'll be in a meeting with men. You'll say something. Nobody has a reaction. 10 minutes later, 20 minutes later, a guy says the same thing. And what happens? If it goes, yeah, it's a good idea. Well, why did they think it was a good idea then? It took them a while to take that idea in, process it, and then own it themselves. And he actually thinks it's his idea. He's forgotten that you came up with it. He has. It's not always vindictive, I'm stealing the ball from you. It's like, hey, I didn't say it exactly like you anyway. You know, I mentioned this other thing with it, so I pissed on it. It's mine, okay? So what do? You can walk away feeling resentful, unappreciated, rejecting, a loser. You know, whoa, that doesn't work. You want to befriend men. You want to connect with them. They want to serve you more. The more you think they're wonderful, I could be wonderful. So what do? He says this idea like it's his. You go, that is brilliant. Anytime you say to a man, that is brilliant, he goes, yes, he'll listen. He'll listen. Everybody says, oh, okay. That, or another one is, that is such a good idea. He goes, yes. And then you spring it on him. See, now he's feeling confident. He's generous. He's open. I've been acknowledged. That's brilliant. Good idea. Then you say, I remember when I talked to Carol earlier this morning about the same thing. And what we discussed was this and this and this. So when I brought it up to the group, I had this whole background on it. You just sort of subtly bring it in, remind everybody, yeah, I brought it into the group. Or you don't have to say that. That might sound too much like you're taking credit, hard for women to do. So you just say, yes, that's a brilliant idea. When I talked to Jane about that today, she said the very same thing. So you can now give a little history of how you came up with that idea. Everybody goes, oh yeah, she said that earlier. So then you start getting the acknowledgement. Because otherwise it's, you know, you either just let it pass and feel victimized, or you stand up and go, that's my idea. And usually that doesn't fly when a woman does it. Why doesn't it fly? Because a man will do it. A man will go, hey, that's my idea. The difference is when men get upset about these little things, they're not coming from a place of taking it personally. See, they kind of jokingly do it. They sort of take it from someone. Or if they get upset, they're always upset that the job didn't get done, as opposed to nobody helped me or how this reflects about me. That's called taking it personally. That's when nobody can handle a woman being upset, is when she's taking it personally. Now, not that men have to be getting upset, but when men do get upset, other men don't seem to mind it. It's usually because they're not coming from a place of, you did this to me. It's the package is late. We have to get it for the people. We have to get this ship up team, get it done. That's kind of dysfunctional still. That's on its way out. It still exists. But men are like okay with that. But if a guy starts taking stuff personally, men don't like it either. It's just women's nature is you don't have all the padding, all the muscle defenses that men have. So things are more vulnerable for you. You get affected by things more. And that's a good quality. That's what we need more in the world, is to recognize how things affect people. That's where our workplace is going to change. But when you take things personally that aren't personal, here's an example. So we're sitting around in a circle. I got my team of women and men that I work with, equal number. And so we're having a meeting. So-and-so's talking, so-and-so's talking. Marcy's not saying anything. Marcy's taking everything in, and she's kind of like low on the testosterone level in the group. So she doesn't just jump in and blurt in. She's taking it in. So if I don't understand her nature, then I'm just going to assume she has nothing to say and ignore her. Because this is what men do. If it's a bunch of men, six men, we're all talking, five are talking, one's not, we all ignore that man because we don't want to embarrass him. We don't want to point out, hey, Bob, you haven't said anything. Well, I don't have anything to say. It's like pointing out he's a loser. You haven't said anything. But because we assume if Bob has something to say, he will say it. I know Marcy has a lot to say. She's our customer service person. She knows more of what's going on than anybody. And so Marcy's over here, but she's not speaking up. So I need to go, all right, let me be more inclusive with her. So we're talking. I said, well, Marcy, what do you think about that? Then she feels included. But if I didn't include her, then she would walk away going, nobody values me. Nobody appreciates what I have to offer. And the truth is, we would appreciate her less because we don't know all that she does and all that she has to offer. So it behooves us to be inclusive when somebody's not. But if you're not being included, often our nature is to take it personally, is to realize maybe this isn't personal. Maybe I'm not even seen. You know, nobody wants to point out I'm not saying anything. So we want to keep thinking around things so we take things less personally. And that's one of the dynamics of blind spots. Another aspect in the book that I really like, because it was so personal for me, is when I started my journey on gender differences, my assistant at the time was Helen. Funny, now, 40 years later, my assistant is Helena, executive assistant, partner. I don't know, politically correct way of saying it. I gave a talk to All Feminists one time, and I got hell for saying she was my assistant. Although the woman on stage today said I was someone's assistant. Anyway, I'm having fun with that one. So Helen did everything in my life, and I was so appreciative of her. Then she came to me and said, John, I want to quit. I said, why? And she said, because I don't feel appreciated. I said, oh, why? I just gave you a raise. Was it not enough? She said, no, it was good. But why don't you feel appreciated? Because in my mind, appreciation is expressed by how much I pay you. That's the way men think. What are you getting paid? So for her, she said, no, you're paying me enough. I just don't feel appreciated. So then I said, what would it look like if I appreciated you? She said, you'd know what I do. And I chuckled inside going, oh my God, that's why I appreciate you so much. I don't have to know what you do. You do everything for me and everything gets done and I don't have to bother. I don't have to think. I can just go into my office and listen to women talk all day. And she would handle everything else, schedule my seminar, schedule the hotel, schedule my travel, schedule my book, pay my taxes, do the whole thing. I mean, it's like having somebody do everything and I got to do my thing. And that's why I appreciated her so much. So what did I do? I just took 5 to 10 minutes extra a day. This is called an insight from gender intelligence, I realized, okay, she's not a guy who would have been happy to have the space. See, guys like the space to do my thing. Nobody's going to meddle with me. I can do it myself. I get paid well. Wonderful. She liked the space I gave her. Certainly, she's a very independent woman. But she also knew I didn't know what she did in detail. So I started taking, every day, 5 to 10 minutes, I take time to ask questions and validate feelings. It's not like we had a therapy session, but I said, oh, my God, that must be so frustrating. Oh, what a disappointment. Did they call back? Hey, you have to call 3 times? So she could do a little bit of venting, kvetching, a little bit of complaining. It wasn't a therapy session. But now I knew what she did and all that she went through. And the reality was, now I really appreciated her more. And men don't know this. And when you do come to a man and just sort of express how hard your job is, the way he usually interprets it is just to say, I guess she can't do it. So here's the way to do it, which is, I love my job, I appreciate my job, and I'm just going to update you on what's going on for a few minutes, and we'll be done. One of the big issues that came up in the study was, are women too emotional? Most women said no, and most men said yes. And are they more emotional? Well, I certainly didn't say that 30 years ago when I wrote Men Are From Mars, but I say it now because I have the evidence. Women's emotional brain is twice as big as a man's. Under moderate stress, when that adrenaline goes in, not the cortisol, but when the adrenaline goes up, women have 8 times more emotional reaction than a man. Floods this brain, emotional reaction. And at that time, you feel a little emotional. What's wrong with that? Several times on stage, the women got emotional, so what's wrong with that? But if a man's not initiated in understanding women, he misinterprets it. Because men only get really emotional when the problem is really big and when they can't solve it. So lions, tigers, and bears, a man runs. Fear takes him over. Unless he happens to be a lion tamer, which is then he doesn't have any emotion either. Basically, there's no fear. He's in that cage. He's alert. He's passionate. He's clear. He's like driving a car 150 miles an hour. You got to be focused, but you don't feel fear. This is for men. Only when they have lack of confidence does testosterone convert into estrogen and their brain is flooded with emotion. For women, when it's just a small problem, their brain is flooded with emotion. And when it's a big problem, they actually detach. So we instinctively misinterpret each other. It's an automatic reaction to misinterpret. So that when you're getting emotional in the presence of a man, you just want to, after you've been and have an emotional reaction, you want to just sort of be light about it and just say, or right in the middle, you go, oh, this is going to be done in a moment. Never have to apologize for it. I mean, sometimes, oh, I'm so sorry. It's a habit to say, but you really don't need to. And by the way, anytime you're going on, you see a guy frustrated, it's like generally too many words for him to process. So at that moment, what you can say to him is never, you don't have to apologize. I really think you should never apologize, Harley, to men. But instead, it really works better with him is, and for you, is, I know this is taking a little bit longer than you thought it would. Just acknowledge what is. And I appreciate your patience. And I'm just about done. Okay. You just handled him. You saved my day. You're giving an acknowledgement. Anytime you can soften a conversation where there's tension, the way you do it with a man is acknowledge. So here's 3 things to remember. 3 walkaway points. We're about to end. Right? We're about to end? Okay. So you can walk away remembering this and try it out today so you don't forget it. These are 3 phrases. I've given you a few others, but they're little things to anchor in this insight. Guy's talking to you, whether it's a husband or a coworker or a boss or employee, you basically say, when he pauses, if it's true, good idea. So I'll practice saying that. 1, 2, 3. Okay, now you got, it's a big room. You got to fill up this room now. 1, 2, 3.
Good idea.
Oh, yeah, just the room is so empty. Try it again. 1 more time. Give me that. 1, 2, 3. Yes, that's it. All right, not that you have to say that to a guy, but this is a big room, so I need to hear it. Okay, so good idea. Immediately fills a man up with his testosterone. Just kind of goes, oh, yeah, what did I say? You'll see him. It's actually ridiculous from a woman's point of view. And you'll see how you have power over men in this way. And it, actually, you're empowering him, which is, oh, what a good idea. And your fear is if you say he has a good idea, that he's not going to see you as a good idea. But that actually lowers his stress level. He relaxes. Then men become generous and can say, and look what you're doing. See, men generous, when they feel they're getting theirs, they become generous in that way. So good idea is one. Another one is, that makes sense. You don't even have to agree with that one. If you don't agree with what he's saying, well, that makes sense. You're going to go, Yes, I make sense. It's a big deal to men. It's left brains turns on. That's who I am, man. Makes sense. So 1, 2, 3. That makes sense. One more time. 1, 2, 3. Okay, then the last one, and this is particularly helpful in marriage, but also in the workplace, where you just basically go, you're right. 1, 2, 3. Thank you all so very much. A real pleasure to be with you today. Thank you. Oh, one final little thing. I don't know if the bookstore is still open. I will be going over there to sign if there's anybody who wants me to sign their book or do photos. I know it's gotten overtime. And also, I didn't mention one other book, which is there, called Staying Focused, Natural Solutions for ADHD, Memory, and Brain Performance. For those that are my age, brain performance is really important. For those a little younger with kids, a lot of them are having all kinds of focus problems, which is often identified as ADHD, but also mood swings, compulsive disorders, these kind of things. Actually, most of them can be easily corrected or can move in the direction easily through dietary changes and supplements. And so I've looked at all the research, 60 pages of references, 40 pages of understanding different supplements that have proven to be more effective than actual medicated drugs. So this is good information. A lot of it's only 2 to 3 years old, so most doctors don't even know about it. So that's available as well, Staying Focused in a Hyper World. It's only available at Amazon, and you can find it also at MarsVenus.com. Thanks again. Okay. Have a great day.